The opportunity this morning to come here. It's always an absolute blessing to come. I'm sorry, brother, but I just realised before the service started, I actually dropped the mic. I wonder if that's why it's not working. Just thought about that. Hooligan. I know. But anyway, okay, if you've got a Bible with you, would you like to turn, please, to Psalm 23? We're just going to read it. I'm not really going to preach on it as such, but we're looking at the life of David. The life of David this morning. And there's so many scriptures I could have read, and I thought, which one am I going to read today? But anyway, this is a psalm that we believe that David wrote, and it's all part of what I want to say this morning. So Psalm 23, if you have your Bibles, I would just read. It's a shortish psalm anyway. I'm sure you know it probably off by heart, word by word. Anyway, this says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wonderful words. So many people read those at different occasions and whatever. But as I say, I'm not really going to speak as such on that. But I want to look at the life of David, see what sort of life he lived, what sort of person he was, and are we like him? Because I'm sure in many ways we are like him, and also he was a perfect person, of course, as we read our Old Testament particularly, we read so much about him. But there is so much good about it that I hope this morning it's going to be a blessing. It's going to bless us, touch us, and might think, oh yes, I could do that, or I shouldn't do that, or whatever it may be. So let's just see what this person and everything about him is like about us and what we can do in our own lives. Well, to start with, David was a great friend. We think of particularly of Jonathan. He had an amazing relationship with a friend of Jonathan. And the friendship was like probably no other friendship that you probably ever read of. And there was that a genuine friendship that meant so much, where he would just do anything for him. They would do anything for each other. And, you know, for us, for you and me, you know, we have friends in the church. We have perhaps friends in our families, in our work, in our neighborhood, whatever. What sort of friend are we? Can people truly rely on you? That if you say you're going to do something, you're going to be somewhere, or whatever it may be, can people 100% guarantee that you're going to be there for them? Because I think in this day and age, friends are so important. So much going on. So much rubbish that's going on, and so many awful things going on. You know, friendships are so, so important. And I hope you as individuals, that you are, if you have friends, which I hope you have got many friends, that people know who you are and they can rely on you 100%. So if you've got things coming up this coming week where you're going to visit people or do something or say you can do something for somebody, you do it 100%. I know sometimes things happen, something can't always happen. You know, things go wrong sometimes. But overall, can people say to you, that person is a true friend to me? And what they see in you, they actually see Jesus. Let us be that friend that David was to Jonathan, and likewise both ways there. David was a writer of Psalms, Psalm 23, and lots of other Psalms that David wrote. He was good with words. He was good with words. I mean, you just read Psalm 23. I mean, probably the whole world, you know, many people know that. Something that was written thousands of years ago, people know now. Because it was written by a man of God. What are our words like? You know, I mean, often we are here on a Sunday, all the nice things to each other, you know, all very gracious and humble. Well, I hope so. I hope you, as you come in this morning, you're all very gracious and humble with each other. Just the right words. But when we get out there, what comes out of here? What comes out of here? So often, well, be careful what sort of words I use now, but some words you could say, which are really, really rubbish, awful, whatever you want to say. Let our words really bless and encourage each other. When was the last time, as you look around here this morning, when was the last time you actually blessed somebody by saying something to them? When you go home, your family, your loved ones, your neighbours, work colleagues, when was the last time you really said something that really, really blessed them? You actually meant it. You didn't say it just because you wanted to say it, but you said it because you really wanted to bless somebody. Because so often, we can say things that really can be awful and really make people's lives really bad. We've got to be so careful what we say. And I think I probably said this before I became a Christian, which was 53 years last week. 53 years, yes. 18th of July, 71. And, you know, before I become a Christian, my words, what come out of my mouth was rubbish. Jesus Christ was just another swear word. Every other word is Jesus Christ, this and that. And when I became a Christian, I thought, my tone, my voice, what I say has got to change so much. And for a couple of weeks, I was just like a zombie. Because before I used that, I had to engage brain. Because if I didn't, what I would say would be awful. And I'd still be saying Jesus Christ as a Christian. No, that can't be the case. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, I had to think what I say. And my words changed completely. And I can say in all honesty, I can say that with a hand on my Bible, in 53 years, I've never sworn in swear. You know, I've never actually sworn. God has taken the thought of prayer swearing away from me. When I was at work, people say, go on, Barry, you want to swear, don't you? And I say, no, I don't need to swear. I don't have to swear. I've got other words I can say, which are better words, nicer words, encouraging words, whatever it may be. So be careful what we say. As we go through this coming week, meet people, I'm sure, in different situations. Let our words bless, encourage, help other people. Just think before we actually speak. And I know for myself that can be, well, now I say I don't have that problem now, but what we say, people hear, people do hear, and they judge us. They know we're Christians. People think, ha ha, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, but look what they say. You know, people are watching what we say, what we do. So let our words be really good, like David, that our words bring glory and comfort to other people as well. David was also a warrior. I mean, the other word, but I was going to read, or I could have done, was, of course, David and Goliath. When Goliath, you know, it's a story that we all know so well. I've preached on so many times in so many places. But David was a warrior for God. Are we a warrior for God? When people see us, what do they see? You know, yes, we all do different things. We come from different places and we have different interests and you name it. But above all, do people see us as warriors for God, our God? You know, that doesn't mean going out killing people and slaying people and all this stuff. I don't mean that, of course. But being God's person, wherever we go, this coming week, we will have opportunities, again, not just what we say, but the things that we do. Will people see us as a warrior of God? Nothing to be embarrassed about being a warrior in that sense. You know, we're not talking about killings and death and all this sort of stuff. But we're going to live a life this week that who God is, what he means to me, what he means to you, and that people will see us in a different light to other people. You know, because where we meet people, see people will see something in us. But I want people to see me as somebody who loves Jesus, who's fighting for Jesus, who's a warrior for him. That's what I want. I want Jesus to be glorified in my life. Is that what you want? Yes, of course we do. We all want that. I'm sure we do. Don't let's be timid. You know, we can know, so, oh, woe is me, I'm nobody. Oh, what rubbish. We are somebody. We've just taken bread and wine, which just shows that Jesus, what he's done on the cross for us. We are special. We are precious. And it's not because of me. It's because of what God has done on the cross of Calvary. We are special. We are precious. We are loved. And we want to go out there and show the world that I'm a warrior for Jesus. It may be difficult. We may get things said against us. We may have horrible things. But this morning we're in a place of safety. We can come into this place this morning to worship God and to do the things that we're doing. There are many tens of thousands, perhaps millions of people who can't do what we're doing today because they're being persecuted. They may be being crucified. It happened, of course, in days gone past. But there are many people who cannot do what we're doing today because they're warriors for God. They're standing up for God. And because of that, you can't do this. You can't go there. This, blah, 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 whatever it may be. Thankfully, at this time in our world, in this nation at the moment, we are blessed. We can do basically what we like from our Christian point of view. But I'm sure there's going to be a day when what we're doing today may not be as simple as what we're doing now. Things will happen where to come to church, I hope it's not going to be my lifetime, I don't know. We don't know, but God knows. Because people are warriors for God. You know, we are blessed in this country. Whatever our politics, whatever it may be, whatever it is, we can do what we like, you know, to a certain extent, of course. So let us be warriors for God. Let's be on fire for God. Let people see that we love Jesus more than anything, more than football, more than anything, whatever you want to mention. Because Jesus is the most important person, most important thing in our lives. David was also a musician. You know, we heard about in school and that when he was playing his harp and all these things. And he was good as a musician. He had a gift of music. He could do things. What gifts of God has God given us? You know, I don't know about you, I feel so blessed. God has given me so much. He's given me so many different spiritual gifts, Christian gifts, gifts that I want to use for him. I mean, you look through the whole Bible in different parts of the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, where there's lots of gifts that God gives to his people. What gifts has he given us? What gifts has he given us to use for his glory? And I was privileged to be here at Pentecost, which not that long ago, really, I suppose, now. But we spoke on the day of Pentecost, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gave. And I'm sure for many of us, we have those different gifts that God has given us. Do we use them for his glory? Or do we just come to church each Sunday and just keep them down there, keep them all quiet, don't say nothing? Or do we use the gifts that God has given us? And not just in the church and those sort of spiritual gifts as we think, but so many other gifts that God has given us, whether it's in teaching, learning, and doing things within the church, whatever it may be. Let's use those gifts that God has given us. Not so we say, look how clever I am, look how important I am. No, we do it to glorify Jesus. Because whatever we do, God gets the glory. That's what we want more of, isn't it? You know, whatever, you know, music group, you know, I mean, I can't play a thing. Even Little Rat, the thing, I'd get that wrong, you know. But, you know, these people have got gifts and they use them week in and week out. And other people have got other gifts. You know, don't think some people, I may not have many gifts, but I can make a cup of tea. Do you have flowers? I don't know. Anyway, some churches have flowers and other things. You know, things, but people say, well, I just do that. But that's a gift that God has given you. Don't run yourself down because it's not. You can't sit up or stand up here, preach and lead worship. Don't think because you can't do that, that what you got is nothing. No, don't let the devil have a go at you. Whatever you can do in this place this morning, during the coming week, there are things that God has given you, and you use those gifts to glorify and honor God in this place. And as you go out, that will glorify God in other ways, in other things that God has given you. So let's use the gifts that God has given to glorify. David had gifts. let us use the gifts that we have as well. David was also a shepherd. We know that he was a shepherd. That's where we think of Psalm 23. And of course, I suppose these days it's a little bit different, isn't it, you know, to what it was 2,000 years ago, you know, or 4,000 years ago in the Judean desert. But, you know, we can think of, get the shepherd part in that sense, but, you know, what us as shepherds, we're here to help, to protect. This is what shepherds do. We'll do it these days, you know, so I'm not a farmer, I don't know much about that sort of stuff, but, you know, the thing is, a shepherd is there for people. Are we there for each other? You know, when somebody needs help, when someone needs direction, when somebody needs protection, and all these different things, what a shepherd does, you know, are we there for other people? Or do we see each other on a Sunday, and then we go off our own separate ways until we see each other next week? I'm sure that doesn't happen, but it can. But we want to be there for each other, whether it's within the church, within our family, within our work, you know, with working with other churches, whatever it may be. Let us be there for each other. We all need some sort of help to be blessed, encouraged, and or whatever, in some way, in these days. Hey, if you watch the news, you think, oh, good grief. You know, it's just, I mean, I've always been a news freak, but the last year or two, I know, I'm getting so fed up with it now. It's just hear the headlines and just read a little bit of something. Because there's so much that is, well, distressing, awful, really. And so people get affected by what's going on in the world. You know, and it may be that we are there for people and protect them. We can bless them and be there for people. Let's be a 2024 modern day shepherd. Whatever that might mean to you, it might be something different for each one of us. It doesn't matter. We've got different gifts, as I just said. And whatever that gift is, we can use to God's praise and to his glory. Does this all make sense? I hope this makes sense to you, because I think it's so important. Let's be a people that show kindness. Now, this is the way it gets me, because Saul's son, Mephibosheth, I can never get it. Sorry? Is that good enough? Thank you. I knew he was going to get me. If you know the story, then Jonathan's son, he had a son called that chap, and he was crippled, and he couldn't really do much. But David took him. He said, "You will eat at my table for the rest of your life." He took him under his control. He could eat the finest of food. He could have everything he really wanted. Well, I know he was king. He had everything he wanted, but he didn't have to. But he just thought, "No, I'm going to show kindness to this person." And that's what he did. And he showed compassion to him. He showed kindness. We can do that as well. Because, you know, again, as I said earlier, we are so blessed in this country. Yes, I know there are lots of people who are poor. There are lots of people in hardship. You know, but I think for most of us, we are blessed. You know, I've come here this morning in a car. I had breakfast. I'm going to have a meal, dinner when I get home, which I'm cooking, I'll say. It's all come out of a packet into an oven, but you know what I mean. But we are really blessed, aren't we? We have so much. What we have got, let us share with other people. Don't let's keep it all to ourselves. I think I may have said this before, I don't know, but before we had a car many, many years ago, when we was at Red Hill Baptist, there's a chap, he had two cars, and he often said to us, "Here's a car, just borrow it when you want, take it, and don't you dare put any petrol in after you've finished it, you know, don't you dare." But he had a gift of a car, which for Jan and I used, go on a holiday or do things or whatever it was. And he just blessed us with the things that he gave us or helped us to use. And I'm sure for each one of us, there's things, when we look around, there are people who think, you know, I could bless that person today, I could bless that person tomorrow, just by giving them this or just lending it to them, whatever it may be. There's so many things, you know, you could spend an hour just talking about that. But you know what you've got. You know what God has blessed you with. How about saying, "Yep, I'm going to bless somebody else as well." And you know, I don't know about you, but when I do things like that, do I feel good inside? Do I feel good inside? Not that we should say, "Well, look at me, look how good I am." But no, but it just makes you feel good inside because you've blessed somebody. You've made somebody's life that little bit better. You've encouraged them and you've blessed them in some way. And so they get a blessing, you get a blessing. It's simple, isn't it? It's not rocket science, is it? There's no such thing as rocket science. It isn't science, it's engineering. I'll just get you over that one. But yeah, but anyway. But so, Mephibosheth, so show that. Let's show that kindness to people around us. So we're looking at good things about David, but he wasn't always the best person. One day he was in his castle, where he was, and he's looking down, looking around. There's this woman having a bath, naked. Whew, she's a bit of all right, for want of a better phrase. She looks all right, doesn't she? Wow, oh, well, I wouldn't mind having her. What he saw in his eyes then went to his brain, his thoughts. And that little thought just being, and I know where he's coming from. I'm an ordinary bloke of 77. I'm still young. No, I'm not young, but you know what I mean. I'm not too bad. You know, I can walk down a road and sometimes, you know, you see some really lovely pretty girl or a fella or girl that's a nice young fella. And, you know, things go through your mind, you know, and it's our thoughts which starts off other things. And it was the same with David. And when he saw that woman, he thought, I want her. You know, the old sex thing came into his brain. Am I allowed to say that? You know, but that came to his brain. And it led to one thing, didn't it? He saw her, and it was Uriah's wife. And so, of course, he made a point of making sure that Uriah, who was a soldier, at the front of the war, so pretty much sure that he was going to get killed, so then he could have Bathsheba, you know, he could have her, for himself. And through that, went through his mind, he started coveting something that wasn't his, He started lying. He committed adultery. He committed murder, and he basically stole somebody else's life. You know what? There was five commandments that he broke in that short time just because of what he'd seen with his eyes. And of course we know that he got her and had a baby and we know what happened, but the consequences were not good. So as good as David was, he's just like a lot of us. You know, let's say, oh well, that can only happen to somebody else. That couldn't happen to me. I'm not that sort of person. We're all sinners. We've all, for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can also say, I wouldn't do that. That other person might, but I wouldn't do that sort of thing. Whatever it may be. You know, so we are all sinners. We all get things wrong. But our God is an amazing God. No matter how or whatever we've done, we still come back to God. Let's come back to him. And we know that we're still his. We have an amazing, wonderful God. So yes, David was an amazing person, but he had his... Let's start blaming other people. I've done that so many times. People's done something. I'd never, ever do that. I may not do that particular thing. I might do something else. Doesn't matter what it is. It's still sin. It's still sin against another person or whatever it may be, but it's still sin against God. You know, so let's rubbish David because of who he was. So he wasn't always the best. We're not always the best. We get it wrong. Just getting very close to the end now. But also David was a king. He was king. He was God's anointed. He was called by God, and God used him mightily, didn't he? What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? In this church, in your home, at work, whatever it may be, has he called you to that's the word, thank you, I'm glad you're here. But what has God called us to do? What has he called us to be? You know, we can all say, well, I can't do much, but God wants us to do something. And with David, he was called and he was anointed, he was king, and God could use him in his position. And same with us. People here now thinking, perhaps maybe in this process of now saying, Lord, where are you leading me? What are you wanting me to do? And you know, we can always easily say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. But if it's of God and he calls you to do something, he will give you whatever it is that he wants you to do. He will give you whatever ever you want. He wants you to do. Because he's a great God. He doesn't say, right, I'm going to call you to do this. Get on with it. No, he doesn't work like that. He said, I want you to do this. How you do it. This is what you need. This is what I'm going to provide you for. So if God's talking to any one of us here this morning, myself as well, even at my age, you know, I'm still wanting to do things for God. I still don't want to sit around on my backside and do nothing. I want to be doing things for God. And I'm still open. Lord, you know, I'm doing this now. I'm doing that now. Is there something you want else to do as whatever? You know, it's for each one of us today. If we're thinking that way, let us see whether now, later on, before God again and say, Lord, I want to be your anointed person. Where you send me, what you want me to do, I want to do it. Because I want to do it to praise and glorify and honor your name. And that's what you want, isn't it? So let's see where we are on that. But above all, of course, David loved God. You know, where do we stand with God this morning? I suspect each one of us, I don't know. I suspect we all love Jesus. He is our Lord and Saviour. And if we're not his at this moment, you know, don't let's go out that door. Going out this door this morning, not knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Let us be that situation that we say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be like Pat, that if whenever I die, that I'm going to be like Pat. I'm going to go straight into your presence. I'm going straight to God. Because that's what being a Christian means. The moment we leave this earth, we go to be with Jesus for eternity. I can't wait. I've got two daughters in heaven. I've got family and friends who are in heaven. And one day I'm going to see them again. Because I love Jesus, they love Jesus, and we're all going to be there to spend eternity with Jesus. What other religion gives you that? Nothing. No others. It's us. You know, it's what God has given us, isn't it? You know, let's be a people that love God. And it may be that we all can say, yeah, I love God. Perhaps just sometimes we need to come back and say, Lord, I just want to get closer to you. I just want to walk closer with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just show me the way forward. Just lead me in the way that you want so I can walk closely with you and so I can be your person to glorify and honour you. So as David was, we looked at all these things. There may be something I've said this morning, maybe it's been said that really touches you. I hope that's not the case, but if there's something I said that, you know, we can be God's person. We can be used in the church out there. We love Jesus above everything. And know that our eternity is secure. Absolutely 100% secure. Because it's in Jesus. And he doesn't lie. His word is completely 100% true. We can trust him. We can love him. We can walk with him. And we can do everything that glorifies his wonderful and precious name. That's what we've got. Folks, I hope touched you, blessed you in some way this morning. Let's go out this morning on fire for God and let him have all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Amen. Amen.